أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الميامين. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين، من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ورتل القرآن ترتيلا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. صلوات الله سبحانه وتعالى is commanding us to recite the Holy Quran as in the form of tartil. Tonight is the first class on the subject of tajweed. I will request all of you respectable brothers and sisters to please bring your notebooks and write down the lessons which are taught here, because it is going to benefit you and you can always refer to those lessons later on when you reach home. And not just that, but also at the time when you want to teach the same stuff to your children and others. So it will always benefit. إِنَّكُمْ لَنْ تَحْفَظُوا حَتَّى تَكْتُبُوا. Because you will never remember until you write down. So we don't remember things until we write down. So writing down is a very important responsibility. The Holy Quran actually has a triple responsibility on our neck. And this is the very basic. If you have any questions about anything that I discuss here, you are free to ask, but please ask it after the class, because so that the recordings of the lectures are smooth. The triple responsibility we have towards the Quran is, first, learn to learn, proper recitation. Second of all, to understand its meanings. And third of all, to practice. Practice the teachings and the contents of the Holy Quran. So right now we are at the step number one, to learn how to properly recite the Holy Quran. That's the step number one. But then we need to remember that we have to go through the later two steps as well. Quran is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the final word of Allah, which is nasikh and invalidating for the previous books. So all the previous books are no longer practical and practicable in the presence of the final word. the final word is the most complete, and the final word is most perfect laws. It contains the most perfect laws, and the final word is the mizan. That means the yardstick. Yardstick for all the previous books. So this is the reason why the Holy Quran has several names, and one of those several is Al-Muhaymin. Al-Muhaymin. And this word refers to the fact that the Quran has haymana, and Quran has the Quran serves as a yardstick, as a judging stick. That's how you can judge all the alterations, all the amendments, all the changes that have been made, all the additions, and all the things that are ejected from the previous books. How can we discover what was added and what was removed? By looking at the Muhaymin. That's the yardstick through which, through the Quran, we judge what story, what law, what teaching, what divine teaching has been changed. So when this is the final word and nothing is going to come after it, and it's the most perfect law, which is in sync to the fitrat and instinct of the human, and this Holy Quran has the knowledge of all haqa'iq of the universe, all the realities of the universe in it. The realities of the universe which are found in the Holy Quran are all dispersed in this book. We can't understand the book by just picking it up, and you know, we can understand if we learn the Arabic grammar and its delicacies. We can understand the Zahir of Quran only, which is related to the Muhkamat. As you all know, that the Quranic ayat are divided into Muhkamat and Mutashabihat, and the Mutashabihat are the apparently seemingly confusing ayat, which are complex ayat, seemingly complex, which are it seems to be very complex to understand. So you cannot understand the mutashabihat unless and until you bring them and present it over the muhkamat, which are understandable. So we combine the mutashabihat with the muhkamat, and then we come to a decision. And this procedure of bringing mutashabihat close to muhkamat is a very is something which is beyond our reach unless and until we have access to the real interpreters of Holy Quran, and those real interpreters are Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wassalam. So, and the true understanding of the Holy Quran, the all-inclusive, comprehensive understanding of the Holy Quran, including the mutashabihat, can only happen if we turn to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. And Prophet has already mentioned in Hadith al-Saqalain, which is narrated in Sahih Muslim and so many other sources, that in Nitarikun Fikum al-Saqalain, I'm leaving behind among you two valuable things, and that's where he mentioned Quran and the Ahlul Bayt. So these are the two valuable things that the Holy Prophet has left behind, and one cannot get separated from each other until they meet the Holy Prophet at the fountain of Kawthar. So we must understand, as we are talking about the Quran and its understanding, that understanding Quran properly and completely and fully is impossible without turning to Ahlul Bayt, who are the real interpreters of the law, of the book. So they are the Quranun Natiq, the speaking Quran, the talking Quran, and this book is called Al Quran al Samit, the silent Quran. So the silent book can only be understood by turning to the speaking Quran. Quran has an apparent meaning of its verses, the Zahir, and also every Zahir has a Batin, and the Batin of the Quran has further Batins up till 7 according to the Hadith, authentic Hadith. It has 7 Butun, 7 hidden meanings. And the hidden meanings, if they were not different according to what my teacher has said, Ayatullah Jawadi Hafizahullah, if it was not different from each other, if those 7 meanings were not different from each other, there is no reason why the Ma'soom, why the infallible Imam alayhi salam would say there are 7. So there are 7 different meanings. If we want to understand the Zahir, we need to have the Taharat. If we want to touch the Zahir of Quran, we need to have the Taharat of the Zahir. And if we need to understand the Batin and hidden meanings of Quran, we must have the Taharat of the Batin of Quran. So the more we purify our souls, the more we will get access to the real hidden meanings of the Holy Quran. So those who are the highest level of purified people understand the Batin of Quran the most. And those who are less purified understand less. And those who are least purified understand it least or nothing of the Batin. So this is just a heads up so we know what type of book we are interacting with. This behavior that we do towards the Holy Quran is exactly the same behavior we are doing towards Ahlul Bayt. Let's keep this in mind, because Ahlul Bayt and Quran can never get separated according to one of the most authentic hadith of the Prophet, the hadith of Saqarain. So anybody who says I take one and leave the other one, I leave the Ahlul Bayt and Quran and Azanaf is enough for me, is actually leaving Quran as well, because Prophet has already said these two can never get separated from each other. So if somebody is claiming that I'm taking one and leaving the other, he's leaving the both of them. And when they both are together, so whatever we are doing, if we want to understand what's our behavior towards Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, today we need to see what is our behavior towards Quran. He's the member of Ahlul Bayt who are present in right now. So our behavior towards Quran is exactly our behavior towards Ahlul Bayt, because these two are never separated from each other. So how much we behave towards the walayat concept and imamat concept of the Imam of our time, and our obedience towards the concept, that's exactly our obedience towards Quran. So if you want to get close to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, get close to Quran, what we call uns bil Quran. We need to be ma'noos with Quran, being familiar. Our soul should be familiar with Quran, and familiarity and uns of bil Quran, of course, like I already explained, it depends on the triple responsibility. How much do we perform the triple responsibility? That will prove whether or not we are ma'noos with Quran or not. If we read it properly, if we understand it properly, and if we practice it properly, it proves our uns bil Quran, and that is going to prove our uns and closeness and familiarity with Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam, because their noor are united. Their noor can never get separated from each other. Let's go to the definition of the word tajweed. The word tajweed, lughatan, means making something to become nice. If you make something to become nice and good, that's what the word literally means. If you open up the dictionary, making something to become good. But istilahan, and the technical meaning is what we are discussing in the istilah of ilmu tajweed. The technical meaning of tajweed is pronouncing every word from its makhraj, and makhraj is defined as the place from where the point in the mouth from where the sound comes out of any letter. From the point from where the sound comes, that point, that place is called makhraj. I forgot the R. Makhraj. So pronouncing every word from its makhraj while taking care of its haq and its mustahaq. Pronouncing every word from its makhraj while taking care of its haq and mustahaq. That's the istilahi technical definition of tajweed. What do we mean by haq and mustahaq? We mean by haq is that when you're pronouncing a word, the word in Arabic has some rules to relate it to the word, while the word is used alone. All those rules which are related to the word, while the word is used alone. And mustahab means all the rules related to the word while the word is used inside a sentence. So if you are pronouncing every letter from its makhraj, and also you are taking care of the haq of the word, which means all the rules related to the word when the word is used alone, and also taking care of the mustahaq of the word, which means all the rules related to the word when it is used in a sentence. If you are taking care of both these aspects and then pronouncing every letter from its makhraj, this is called, you are taking care of the tajweed. You are reading it according to the tajweed, according to the principles of ilmu tajweed. Is it clear? Or if it's not clear, I can repeat it for you. Okay. Now, haq means that you use a word, you take care of the rulings regarding the word when the word is used alone. And mustahab means you take care of the rulings regarding the word when the word is used in a sentence. Their rulings are different, which we will learn some of those important rulings, inshallah. So this is how we define, if somebody asks you, have you learned the ilmu tajweed? So what actually do you learn when you are, why should I learn ilmu tajweed? What is the benefit I get? The benefit is that if you learn ilmu tajweed, you will be pronouncing every letter from its makhraj, plus you know what to do when the word is alone, and you know what to do when the word is used in a sentence. So you take care of all those rulings. So this is the tajweed, the literal meaning of tajweed in the according to the istilah and terminology of ilmu tajweed. But Allah has asked us to recite Quran in the format of tartib, and we are studying here tajweed. رَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. تَرْتِيل. What is the meaning of تَرْتِيل? Okay. Let's go to the meaning of تَرْتِيل. Recitations are divided into several types. The first type of recitation is what we call at-tahqiq or qira'at at-tahqiq. Let me say like this. قراءة التحقيق. قراءة التحقيق. Number two, second type of قراءات and recitation is what we call قراءة التدوير. قراءة التدوير. And the third type of recitation third type of qira'at and recitation is what we call qira'at tahdhir. These are three types of qira'at and recitations. Now, the difference between these three is simple. If you are reciting Quran, or you know, and you read it in a very slow pace, what we call at-ta'anni, bi-akthar at-ta'anni, that means slow, very slow pace of recitation. Just like you see some of those audio cassettes reading Quran from some famous qaris, they're reciting it very slowly, by, you know, so pronouncing every word slowly one after the other. So this is the type of qira'at which we call qira'at al-tahqiq, with the slower pace. Qira'at al-tadweer is the qira'at which is from, you read the Quran with a medium pace of recitation. And qira'at al-tahdhir is a qira'at where you have a fast pace of recitation. Now, so the tahdhir is opposite to tahqiq. Tahqiq is fast, is the slow pace, and tahdhir is the fast pace. Now, we were talking about tahdhir. What is actually, which of these three is called tartil? Because qira'at is of three types. We talked about that here. It's only three types. So where does tartil come in? Tartil is this type of qira'at. It's called tartil with one condition. And that condition is, if you recite the Holy Quran with a medium pace of recitation, plus what you do is tadabbur, that means thinking about its meanings, paying attention to its meanings. So if you are reciting Quran with the qira'at of tadweer, that means a medium pace of recitation, plus you are doing tadabbur and tafakkur, paying attention to its meanings and thinking about its meanings, this is what we call tartil. That's how we are commanded to read. We are commanded to recite the Quran according to the qira'at of tartil. That means with you do a medium pace and you think about what Allah has said. Is it clear? This is the qira'at al-tartil. Now, shall I erase this? Okay. Thank you. حروف الهجائية. That means the alphabets of the Arabic language. The alphabets in the Arabic language have a controversy. They are not free from controversy because there are two different statements at least. One statement saying that there are 28, the other count is 29. 29 different alphabets or 28 different alphabets. Now why the controversy? The controversy is actually there because those who count it to be 28 say that Alif al-Maddiya, Alif al-Maddi, which is just a stretch of the voice, they don't count it to be part of the alphabets of Arabic language. We will come to Alif al-Maddiya. We will discuss it a lot, inshallah, very soon. So don't worry about that. You will learn all that detail, inshallah. But this is just for you to know what is the difference and why some count it to be 28. So some do not count Alif al-Maddiya to be a separate alphabet, whereas others say no, Alif is also part of the alphabets, and this is also one of those. So in addition to Hamza, they also consider Alif to be a separate alphabet. Hamza is of course for sure one of the alphabets, and we should remember that the sign of Hamza is like this, and everywhere you find the sign it's a Hamza, and it is written in various ways in Arabic because we have another knowledge which we say, is about the Rasmul Khat, the knowledge related to the handwriting of the Arabic language. Writing down the language has a whole science behind it. How to write it down is a whole knowledge. So it has so many rules applying to it. So Hamza, according to the rules of Rasmul Khat, is written in various forms, and you can find these various forms all over in the Arabic language, spread all over. So wherever you find any of these ways, you can just, it's all Hamza. So it may be written on top of an Alif or under an Alif or without an Alif or on top of a Waw or on top of a Ya, but don't get confused. If it is written on top of a vowel, it's not a vowel, it's a Hamza. If it's written on top of a Ya, it is not Ya, it is Hamza. If it is written under an Alif or over an Alif, it is not an Alif, it's a Hamza. Likewise, when it's separate. So Alif has to be written like this. And in Arabic language, Alif is always Sakin. It doesn't have no Harakat in Arab, which we will come to that point as well very soon, inshallah. So the controversy in the count is because of this Alif, whether it should be counted, which is Alif al-Maddi, whether it should be counted as one of the alphabets or not. Some count it, and that's why they say it's 29. So writing of the huruf al-hijaiyya, the alphabets, is also of three types in Arabic. The alphabets are written in three different ways. We have the huruf al-kabira, and then we have al-huruf al-saghira, and then we have الحروف المتوسطة. الحروف الكبيرة is the bigger case, upper case. الحروف الصغيرة is the lower case, small case of letters. And متوسطة is the when the letter falls in the middle. The bigger case Huruf al-Kabira are like this. We write it like this. Alif, ba, ta, sa. So in Urdu we say bay, but in Arabic we don't say bay, we say ba. Likewise in Urdu we say te and se. It's not te and se, in Arabic it's ta and sa. Likewise in Urdu we say hey. It is not hey, but it is ha. It is not hey, but it is called ha in Arabic. So there's a difference in calling the letters. Dal and Zal and Ra, we call it Re in Urdu. In Arabic we say Ra. And Za, in Urdu we say Ze, in Arabic we call it Za. And then it is Seen and Sheen and Saad and Baad and Ta. We call it Toy in Urdu. But it's not toy, it's ta. Like it's not voy, it is va. Ta and va. Ayn and zayn. And fa, we call it fe in Urdu. In Arabic, we call it fa. And kaf is the same. Kaf is the same. Lam, the same. Meem, the same pronunciation. Noon, the same. Wow. There is the same pronunciation is there, wow. And hey, we call it in Urdu, but in Arabic we call it ha, ha. And then in Urdu we say ye, in Arabic we call it ya. And there are always two dots under the ya in Arabic. When you write down the ya, it has to have the two dots under it. So this is the bigger or uppercase of the letters of Arabic language. We call it al-huruf al-kabira. We'll take this. So this is how we write the letters. That's how we write the letters. Now let's go to the smaller case, lower case of the letters, and I will write down here. The lower case of the letters are like this. So Alif doesn't have no lowercase. It's the same one standard way of writing Alif without the Hamza sign. And Hamza, I already told you the various ways how the Hamza is written. Like this, and this, and this, and this, and this. These are the various ways how we write the Hamza. Alif is always written like this, without any mark of Hamza, because it's not Hamza, it's Alif. So we just write it like this, a straight line. But it doesn't have a lowercase. So we are talking about the lowercase. Alif doesn't have a lowercase, so we don't mention it here. So from the lowercase, let's start it from the ba. We write it like this, and then ta, and then sa, and then jim. Lowercase is like this only. Ha is like this, and ha is like this, the lowercase, and the seen, and the sheen, and the sod, and the vod, and then the tha and vod are in the lowercase, are just like this. And the ayn is like written like this in the lower case, and the ghain is written like this, and fa is written like this, ha is written like this, and kaf is written like this, and lam is written like this, lam and meem is written like this, and noon is written like this. And ha is the same ha, but yeah, and then it's ya, which is written like this. So these are the lower case of Arabic letters. That's how we write it. in the lower case. Now we move forward to the middle case. And the middle case I will write here. In the middle case, alif has no middle case. Ba is written like this in the middle case. Ta is written like this. Sa is written like this in the middle case. Dal is written like this in the middle. And zal. And of course the ra is there, and the za is the same way, ra and za in the middle, and the seen in the middle, and the sheen in the middle is written like this, and the sad in the middle like this, and vad like this, and ta and va like this, and the ayin is written in the middle like this, and the van is written in the middle like this, fa and qaf like this, qaf is written like this, lam is written like this in the middle, meem is like this, noon is like this, similar to the ta thing, except that there is one dot on top of it. Waw is written like this, ha is written like this, and ya is written like this in the middle case. So these are the middle case letters that you should remember. And also it is important to keep in mind that the ta that we were discussing earlier, we wrote the ta al-tawila, and then we have a small ta which we call ta al-marbuta. This is called ta al-tawila. The long ta, this is called the long ta, and this is called the connected ta, ta al-marbuta. So also the ta can be written like this as well, and can be written like this as well. You know, some people write it like this in these different forms, but these are all ta. Likewise the ha can be written like this and can be written like this. So these are all the various ways how the same alphabet ha is written. So this is about how to recognize the huruf al-hijaiya in Arabic. And now we will move forward to the next lesson of the sun letters and the moon letters. Should I erase all this? Okay, you're writing the middle ones? Okay, I'll leave the middle ones. Arabic, the huruf, that means the alphabet, are divided into two types. Al-Shamsiyya and Al-Qamariyya. Shamsiyya, the sun letters, Qamariyya are the moon letters. The word Shams in Arabic means sun, and the Qamar, word Qamar in Arabic means the moon. So because, so that's why we call them sun and the moon letters. Now, because the laws of this word Shams and Al-Qamar are related to these two different types. So that is why we find that we apply the same name as to those letters. We call them sun letters and we call them the moon letters. That's how it is. And the alphabets, taking the count as 28, are divided into equal halves, 14 and 14. 14 are called the sun letters and the 14 are called the moon letters. Shall I erase this? And also this? Okay, first the sun letters. The sun letters are called the sun letters, let's take, because what, the discussion is when you are trying to add al, which is like the in English, on top of any noun, there are two different changes taking place in the alphabets. And because of two different changes, two different rulings, we are classifying the alphabets into two types. So when you are adding al, which is like the, it is not exactly like the. In Arabic, al has 11 meanings. The doesn't have 11 meanings. But in English, we are forced to just say the. So al is a very, very deep thing in Arabic. It has 11 different types of meanings. So whenever you are using the definite article the, al, on top of an Arabic word, let's suppose in this case, is shams, which means the sun. So you are trying to add al, which is the, on top of the noun shams. Now the law says when you are add this, the law says when you are adding this al, you are not allowed to pronounce the lam and because sheen is one of the sun letters, and then you should skip the lam, do not pronounce it, and connect the hamza directly to the next alphabet after the lam. The next alphabet, of course, is sheen. Skip the lam, don't pronounce it as if it's not there, and you connect the hamza directly to the first alphabet. The first alphabet after lam is sheen. So you will connect the hamza with the sheen, and then there will be a shad, tashdeed sign, a small w which comes on top of the alphabet, which shows that you are repeating. So there are two alphabets, a sheen plus another sheen. They are repetitive. They are two alphabets of the same kind. So that's why we merge them and we put a sign of small w, which we call shad in Arabic. In Urdu, we call it tashdeed. In Arabic, we call it shad or shadda. That we will discuss the sign of shad and shadda in detail very soon, inshallah. But the law here in the sun letters say, whenever one of the sun letters come face to face with al, the definite article, then you don't pronounce the lam, you cannot pronounce the lam. You have to connect the hamza directly to the first alphabet, and then you put a small shad on top of the first alphabet. So you would say ash-shams, as if the letter is like of course it's not written like this, but I'm writing it so that in order for you to understand it easily, so you will pronounce it like this, ash-shams. Is it clear? So the English translation has to be like this. I strongly disagree with those people, Arabs or non-Arabs, who misspell the Arabic terms and Arabic words. You can open up the National Geographic map. I have it in my iPhone, and in the National Geographic map it says Al-Najaf. It does not say Al-Najaf. Like, there's a lot of common mistake done by some Arabs and non-Arabs. This is wrong. It's not Al-Najf because Noon is one of the sun letters. And you cannot pronounce the Lam. If you pronounce the Lam, it's wrong grammatically. But there are lots of Arabs and non-Arabs too who make very, very common mistakes of the Arabic grammar. This is just the basic stuff of Arabic grammar. So the National Geographic can write it Al-Najf, but some of the Arabs and non-Arabs will write it Al-Najf. You can see the difference, how particular they are in writing the Arabic according to its grammar. So it is Ash-Shams. You have to write it like this. If somebody writes it Al-Shams, that's wrong. So likewise, you open the map and you will find it like Ar-Ramadi, for instance, some of the names of Iraq, Ar-Ramadi, Ar-Riyadh. That's how they will write it in their maps, Ar-Riyadh. They don't say Al-Riyadh. That's wrong, Al-Riyadh. It's a very common mistake, Al-Riyadh. It's not Al-Riyadh, you know. It's Ar-Riyadh, it's Ar-Ramadi, because Ra is also one of the sun letters. Okay, let's go to the list of the sun letters and the moon letters to make it simple. The sun letters first. This is the list of the sun letters, and we already learned the law. Ta, Sa, and Dal, and Zal, and Ra, and Za. And Seen, and Sheen, and Saad, and Baad, and Ta, and Ba, and Lam, and Noon. So whenever you find any noun starting with one of these 14 alphabets, any noun starting with one of these 14 alphabets, and you want to add the definite article Al on top of it, remember, you are not allowed to read the Lam. You are not allowed to read the Lam. You have to skip it. You have to connect the Hamza of the definite article Al directly to the first alphabet of the word. And then you put a Shadda, the sign of Shadda, on top of it. So like here, we would say Ash-Sham. Ash-Shams. So, okay, what are some of the examples before we move to the moon letters? Let's go to some of the examples. Yeah, when you add the Al, the definite article, like the, Al is like the definite article. Whenever you want to add Al, the definite article of Arabic, on top of a noun, if the beginning alphabet of that noun is one of these 14 letters of the sun letters, then you are not allowed to read the Lam of the definite article. The Lam of Al will not be recited. You have to skip the Lam and you have to connect the Hamza directly to the first alphabet. And there you have to put a sign of Shadda, like a small W. So you would, in this case, Shams, we will read it like this. Ash-Shams. You cannot say Al-Shams. That's wrong. It's Ash-Shams. Ta, example. For example, At-Tamimi. For example, we can't say Al-Tamimi. We say At-Tamimi. See? So Al-Tamimi is, we say At-Tamimi, Sa, As-Salasa, 3. As-Salasa. Here we are not reading the Lam, here we are not reading the Lam. We are connecting the Hamza directly to the first alphabet, which is Sa in this case and Sa in this case. As-Salasa, not reading the Lam. Dal, Ad-Dimar, means the rubble. Ad-Dimar. We don't say Al-Dimar. We say Ad-Dimar. Zal. For instance, Az-Zail. Az-Zail. Ra. Ar-Raib. الرب. We don't say الرب, we say الرب. ذا الزيغ. الزيغ. We don't say الزيغ, we say الزيغ. سين. السفر. You don't say al-safar, you say as-safar. Sheen, as-shams, you already have the example. Saad, as-sabr. As-sabr, you don't say al-sabr, you have to say as-sabr. Waad, al-dhaygham, for example. الضيغم. So you don't say الضيغم, you say الضيغم. Likewise طاء. الطاعون. الطاعون. You don't say الطاعون. ضاء. You say الظبيو. The deer. الظبيو means the deer. الظبيو. This is a فتحة. الظبيو. You don't say الظبيو, we say الظبيو. لام. The example of لام is like الليث, means the line. الليث. You don't say الليث, you say الليث. And the example of noon is النور. So you don't say النور, you have to say النور. النور. So these are the examples of the 14 sun letters, الحروف الشمسية. Is it clear? Okay. I will give you a homework Surah Taha from the Holy Quran. If you can please write down the verses from 1 till verses number 10 and let me know which of the words used in those verses are the sun letters. Okay? Then you bring it down and as the homework. So inshallah in the next class we will start the Al-Huruf Al-Qamariyah, the moon letters and its examples. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله